35 minutes, just all I have to say, so I'll contain it as best as I can to have you out in good time. But we will be referring to God's Word tonight, because it's God's Word that will speak tonight. And as first of all, I want to read with you in Mark chapter 10. This is the story of the rich ruler who came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read these verses in verse 17. And we know that the Lord will bless his word tonight. He's promised to do so. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. And when he was gone, this is speak of the Lord Jesus, forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Not a lovely verse there. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And the Lord will add his blessing, we know, to that word. Now, as I give my testimony, well, probably the best place to start is at the beginning, isn't it? As I say, I'm from Armagh. I was brought up outside Armagh, just a couple of miles out the Newry Road. And I would have to say that there wasn't a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I always knew that as time progressed, I always knew that I needed to be saved. Taught that because my mother was saved. There were six in our family, and we were brought along to Sunday school. I was brought up in the Presbyterian Church and through the BB, and I knew quite well what it meant to be born again. There's one picture in our home that we didn't get at Sunday school now, but it was that text of Scripture in John. It says, "Except a man be born again." And in my worst of moments as I grew older, that verse always stood out. "Except a man be born again." I always wondered as a young person, well, what does that really mean? Of course, I came to understand what it meant. Went to a little Brethren Sunday school down just beside our home on the Newry Road. And I would say there, I was faithfully again confronted. In that little Sunday school, I'm going way back, till I was 10 or 8 or around that age, and there was a verse of Scripture. There was a stove in that little Sunday school in the middle of the country, and it just simply said the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So that's how I would have come up through my early life, knowing that. Now, we would always been brought out to meetings, and children's meetings, no matter if it was a mission in our area, but my mum made sure that we were all there. That's a good thing, isn't it? And it's so good to see young people here tonight. But I thought, well, sure, that's something that you think about when you become older. And I put that off. But I remember in a meeting, it was two ladies who were taking the meeting, and I remember at the age of 9, I'm going to stress this, I made a profession. But I'd have to say I wasn't saved. You might say, well, how could that be? Well, I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Certainly didn't knew that much. But I just made a profession. But Ivan Thompson was a great character, and we had him many times in Armagh. He says, if there's no change, there's something strange. And there's no change in my life. Not at all. I just went on, and I went to a primary school, and it's a fellow, Robert Kurt, who speaks with me. I do some mission work, and he taught me in school. I often said to him when I'm announcing him, Robert taught me in school, and then Robert would get up after me, and he says, now I'll have to just change that. Norman was in my class. That's what Robert... I didn't like school. I hated school. Just didn't like school at all. All I wanted to make sure when I was 15 that the school bag would be out of the way, and that was it. But now you wouldn't come home to our home and said you haven't got a job. You just don't. It wouldn't have been part of the curriculum at all. And I knew that I needed a job just to go to school. So anyway, I got a job in a grocery shop. And I didn't really... some of the older people would remember my first wage packet was 27 and sixpence a week. Now, you're trying to calculate that, but that is not very much. But a part of that had to go to my mum. So it had. So the rest, you lived on it. But anyway, I remember, you'll see now why I'm saying that, I just wanted more money. And I remember sitting at home. We were home for our lunch. We could go home for our lunch hour. And there's this man, he was driving a cattle beast up a little road, and he was a butcher. And my brother was called Robert. I said, Robert, I wonder would that man have any work? And before I knew, Robert was out, and he stopped him. He says, I have a young boy in here, brother. He would wonder, have you any work? And he says, send him in. That's how it happened, just send him in. So I went into him, and I got... started as a butcher. Now, you would think, well, butchers are big men, aren't they? I'm not too big. So I'm maybe tall enough. But anyway, that's how I started. And that's how I began really serving my time. Now, some would know, way back then, there was butcher's vans on the road. You wouldn't see them. There was bread van, there was milk vans, there was a butcher's van. It's the first mobile butcher van. You'll see why I'm saying this. You see how God orders your step even you're not saved. And I was put out on this butcher's van with another fella, took up my license when he was 16, and then obviously I was able to do it. And that's how I served my time. And I got my time served 4 years. You'd wonder why you'd have to serve your time for 4 years in a butcher shop, but that's the way it was. And anybody know the message bikes with a big basket? I see some smile. I'm sure you do. You're all looking very serious. I just don't know. But anyway, that's how I started pushing this van up this bike up and down roads. And I tell you, it wasn't easy. A wee wheel and a basket. And that's how I worked. But those were good days. But anyway, the van came. And I thought, right, I got my time served. And obviously, you chase for more money, don't you? That's not wrong to do that. And used to be a boy, a fella out on the run. He was a bread van in Irvine's and put it down, Nutty Crust. And I said to Noel, I wonder if any chance of a job in Irvine's. And he says, well, sure, we'll see. And obviously I got the job, and it didn't last very long, 6 months. Just didn't work out. It wasn't to be. And I came back into Market Hill to a butcher shop. So I'm now 21 years of age. And I used to think to myself, well, sure, if I could do this with somebody else, for somebody else, I could do it for myself. You think, sure, I could do that, couldn't I? So I was smart enough to know, maybe hadn't much education, but I was smart enough to know that you could do that. And I thought, well, you know, the best way to accomplish that was to maybe buy a mobile butcher's van. And I lived in the Market Hill Road, and all my other brothers, two brothers and three, were all married and were still at home. And I asked my dad, my father, could I build a preparation room? Just trying to build you a picture that you'll see just where I am at this stage. So I managed to do that, and I made sure it would have to be right. You know, if I was going to achieve what I set out to do, it would have to be done right. So I headed up to Wrights of Ballymena, and I got a butcher's van built. And I gave him a notice, in April 71, told Edson, my man I was working for, and he could have very well said, well, if that's what you're going to do, you may leave, but he didn't. He gave me 6 months till I got the van built and got plan permission through for the preparation room, which was, well, it was just like a wee butcher, mini butcher shop. And here comes October 1971. So I'm just going on ahead as quick as I can. And in our local paper, it's called the Ulster Gazette. Now, I didn't ask, you know, they would do a feature for you and try to help you get started. And they interviewed me and asked me, and I must have said through my interview with the editor that was my ambition. And unknowns to me, the paper come out, and there's 2 pages, full-sized, and they put on top of the 2 pages, ambition realised. Now keep that in your mind. Ambition realised. This is what I'd set to do. I remember I knew how to go about this now because I had done it serving my time. I had done this, and I knew how to go about that. I knew I was going to have to poach other people, customers. I knew I had to do that, but anyway, people knew me, and it worked. And from the word go, it just worked. Now, anybody with any knowledge would know it takes a bit of time to work, but for some unknown reason, it just worked. And I headed out from our home. It was a Thursday morning, remembered as well. And I thought, this is it now. This is what I have lived for. 21 years of age, 22, and this is what I had lived for now. And I have achieved it. Nothing wrong with that. And probably at the back of my mind and all, I would have knew my upbringing. I would have knew that you pray about things. And I would have prayed and asked the Lord to help me. Now, I wouldn't have been... I mean, I was reckless enough as a young person. I really was now, but just as any other young fella with just like the dance halls and the lounge bars, that was just part of life. And that's how it was. I got through October, November, December, and the run built up till it come January. Now I want you to listen now what was going to happen. I was got through Christmas and I had a good run built up. Every other day I had a run, and I was working that okay. You cast your mind back to Bloody Sunday. Remember in Londonderry, or Derry, whatever you want to call it, and it was real chaos there on that Sunday. I never passed any remarks, and well, I was in the UDR. I'm not going into that now, but I was where I live in a little village called Milford. Now that might be could be anywhere for you, but a little village outside Armagh called Milford, that's where I live now. And my last port of call was at Milford Factory, 600 workers, and I used to park up the street in Milford. The people used to come out, and so I got that done at 4:30. And I was heading down into Armagh. Now you listen, how suddenly things can take a turn for what I thought was the worst. And I was coming down into Armagh, and I wasn't thinking, but I would have had to go through a Republican area. And these boys would have knew me and knew that I had to go through that. And just coming down into the edge of Armagh, I was confronted with 6 masked men. And all that I had worked hard for, borrowed money at that time, and because we weren't wealthy people, my father had to work. All I can remember of my mum and dad was they had to work really hard to get us reared. And we appreciated that. You know, young people, if you have a mum tonight and a dad, you appreciate them. You appreciate them. Because maybe I didn't really, in a sense, love them so much, but maybe thought, well, sure, Why do they worry so much? And why do they worry if you're not in at night? And anyway, and all was taken away from me. They pulled me out of the van. And I can just see it even as I speak to you tonight. They just pulled me out of that van. And the spur of the moment, you might say, well, when you were confronted like that, maybe that's in your mind. You know, if I was confronted with something that would be mischievous, and you knew that death was going to, you would say, well, sure, I would get saved then. Well, I tell you, that was far from my mind. And I knew it now. I knew it so well. Knew it so well because my mother went to the Baptist Church in Armagh, and Pastor Armstrong used to come out, and Pastor Armstrong had a wee book. I'll tell you that later. He had a wee book. And he had all our names in that book. Anyway, I managed to flee. I'm just at the edge of Armagh now. I just ran. And the butcher's van never even got time to lift my coat or anything. I just had the sense to run. And I ran for cover. And the van went up in flames. And all that I had worked for in 3 months had disappeared. And just down below, well, Armagh, as I didn't realise, Armagh was just a hive of activity that day because of what happened. There's a girl at 19, you listen to this now, there's a girl at 19 going home to Newton Hamilton. She's an office assistant, and there's a pellet bomb was launched into the back of that bus, and that girl was burnt to death. That girl was a Christian. She was saved. And I used to think to myself, after that, when I got myself together, I used to think to myself, why? Why would that have to happen? Do you see, unknowns to me, there was such a thing in the Bible called the mercy of God. God was merciful to me. See, those boys that had pulled that trigger that day, well, I knew now I'd been lost. And they could have now, because they knew that the new was coming past the same time every day or round about, and they knew that, well, they could certainly take me out easily enough. Anyway, I got home. And you just imagine now a young fella, 22, coming 23, you can imagine what was through my mind. As I come home, and as I went home and got a lift home, and I walked into the butcher's shop and I saw the size of meats hanging. The Ulster Meats had been there, had brought me a supply for the next fortnight. And I thought, well, what now? What now? What do I do now? And obviously word got around what had happened, and I remember my employer that I had just worked for came down and offered me my job back, but that I said, no, I just don't feel I should do that. Now, I would have had a very easy, uneasy night that night. Wondering now, where do I go from here? Now, I live about 2 miles from Armagh, out in more or less the country. And I got up the next morning, I thought, Pastor Armstrong, I'm just referring to that, how good Pastor Armstrong was to us. And I remember that big man, Pastor Armstrong, put his hand on my shoulder. He says, Norman, I'll be praying for you. Well, I would know he prayed, I think, but he was praying that this would speak to me, because I certainly was reckless enough now. I was reckless enough to know that I needed to be saved and was putting that off. And anyway, I got up the next morning, out into the shop, and I thought, what will I do? I couldn't get a mobile butcher's van back on the road again. It took 6 months to get it built and so forth. I had no money anyway to do that. The government wasn't just going to pay you overnight. And I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll put a notice in the paper and I'll work from the shop. Work from the preparation room. And you know something? It worked. People got to know what had happened. And that was Tuesday, now I'm Wednesday. I opened up on the Thursday, managed to get counters in and so forth. And my trade just doubled over the weekend. What I was doing in the van just doubled. And I thought, well, I never... You would think after all that, you'd say, well, you know, you'd need to change your ways, wouldn't you? Remember a man coming out and he meant well. You know that verse in Romans says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Well, I tell you, I've learned to be very careful how I would quote that to someone who's in hospital, because I do a quite wee bit of visiting in hospital. I didn't think it was working for good. I couldn't see that. How would that work for good? But do you see, it was working for good. Remember Joseph? Remember, his father thought Joseph was dead, and he said, all these things are against me. And yet Joseph was still alive. So God was stopping me now. Maybe you heard tonight, and I don't know anybody really. I know this dear lady down here, that's the only person I know. Maybe the Lord has put barriers against you and just stopped you. But didn't stop me now. Didn't stop me. I got going again, and I just got on with my work. I was single at the time. But you know, there was a mission came to our area in February of 72. And I went one night, out of courtesy, because people who organised that mission, a little portable hall, had been good to me. Remember my Sunday school teacher in my little Brian Hall, wonderful how things speak to you. There's a man called Mr. Williamson, he came up to see me at the weekend, and he says, Norman, I'm so sorry to just know what has happened. And he wasn't a platform man at all. Taught me in my very first week class. And you know what that man done? He says, I'm sorry. I'll be praying for you. And he put his hand in his pocket. He took out an envelope. Big man. He shook my hand and he walked out of the shop. Well, I tell you, if ever anything spoke to me, that did. Mr. Armstrong, he was a great help to me when I come out of work. I'll be telling you that in a wee minute. He says, I'd rather see a sermon in boots than in books. That spoke to me. Why did that man do that? Obviously, there was money in the envelope. It helped me just to get started again. It wasn't a loan of money. It was a gift. So anyway, I heard that first night I went to that mess. It was Derry Bingham and Robert Cute. Now I'm going back to 72. And I sat there, and I knew that there was a cost to be counted. It was spelled out clear that there were no lounge bar, there were no dance hall, there were no, that would have to go. Because I saw Christians in the area, and I knew what they lived for. I knew it. I knew by their life. I knew just by their manner that they were Christians, they were believers. And that spoke to me, and I said, no, that's certainly not for me. And back in my mind, see, I thought when I was 9, what was that all about? Sure, that didn't work for me. Now, I'm not knocking any child, because I know I have a son called Paul, who was saved at 4.5, and he never looked behind him. But anyway, I didn't go back. I knew that my life would have to change and I would have to stop where I was. See, there's a word called repentance. It means a change. And that wasn't for me now. So I went on ahead and just got on with my work, and things went well for us. And one Sunday morning on the 23rd of April, those meetings started for 3 weeks, and they started again. Derek had to go to England. I know this now. And they started up again on the 23rd of April. I went to my own church. The worst of nights, if I come home late, you certainly wouldn't lay in your bed on Sunday morning. That wouldn't even be a consideration. And I went to church that not just as usual. And that they had arranged an open-air meeting beside the hall to start the meetings again. Now you listen what God does. Amazes me. I went up, I said, sure, I'll go up to the open-air meeting. And I went up, I'm sure there was 500 gathered in that open-air meeting. It was a lovely April afternoon. The meeting started, and two wee girls got up to sing. They were called the Abraham Sisters, Anita and Adele. I'm sure you've heard of Ivan Abraham. Some maybe would have. And they sang a piece, and this is what it was. I was standing beside my car. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And just like a flash, I pictured those wee girls, not little tartan dress and breath. And I thought, here's two girls, and I was coming over, they would rather, and what I had come through, I would rather have my business. All I was thinking of, to get on with it. And I stood there that day. Now, I didn't know, if you'd have told me about the word conviction, I wouldn't have knew what that really was. But you see, it just all came in front of me that day. What about you now? Those meetings started again on Sunday night. That Sunday night. You wouldn't have had to ask me to go that Sunday night. I just wanted to go. I just wanted to go. Back again. Remember sitting, listening. And by this time now, wouldn't you wonder, I was wanting to be saved now. When am I speaking to someone, and you would just love to be saved? Because that's where I was. I just, Laura was trying to put on an appearance. I was just fed up with just what I was doing, just out at the weekend, and I just, it meant nothing really to me. And I came home that Monday. It was my day off at that time. And all I thought about, what if those men had pulled that trigger that night? And I began to know in verses of scripture that I learned, that's why folk, young people, children's meetings, Sundays, is so important. Because see, I was well grounded to know. Monday night I went to the meeting. And I come home on Monday night. Now you listen to this. And my mother knew quite well that where I was at. She knew rightly now, why was I going there? You see, I was brave enough to know to say to my mum, Mum, what about when I was 9? What about when I was 16? Because I made a profession again. And all this was my mind. You know what my mother said to me that night? Because I knew I'd give unto my sheep eternal. I knew all that. But where was I now? Was I saved? You know what my mother said to me? If you're not sure, make sure. And she never spoke another word. Make sure. I tell you, come Tuesday night, I remember sitting in that meeting. I remember sitting. And you know my thought that night? Because you know where I had to go down Friday night? I had to go to a dress dance. When you wonder the things that go through your mind. And I knew if I got saved, I couldn't go there. You might say, well, sure, could you not be saved? No, I knew I couldn't. I just knew it. That night, I sat in that seat in a little portable hall way in the countryside. And I says, Lord, I'm not going home tonight till I get saved. Picked up enough courage to ask Robert and Derek at the door, would they speak with me? And Robert Hewitt came for 1 hour. He took that his Bible. And you see, I tell you, I just could not see it. How simple it was. Oh, I tell you. But unknowns to me, you know what was happening? Unknowns to me, it was a little caravan they brought me into. unknown to me, you know what there was? There was about a dozen men in the hall praying for me. I didn't know that. Robert went back in, he says, Derek, would you go in and speak to Norman? Because Derek had called in the shop with me, and as he would do, visiting. And I used to say, Derek, listen, that hasn't worked. I could not keep that. Because I knew rightly I would love to be saved. Derek came in. Remember as well yet. He took out his pen after about a half an hour with me. I'm sure some of you would know that song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. He took his pen out. And by this time, though, I was broken. And I was wanting to be... He drew a bridge. And he says, you know, do you know that song, Norman? Of course, I did know it. He says, there you are, in one side. Just come over. He says, we'll pray. Wonderful how the Spirit of God can work, isn't it? And he prayed and he got down his knees and he just asked the Lord, would he open up my heart? And he quoted a verse, I remember it as well. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, in his prayer. And I got saved in the middle of his prayer. You know, I just said that night. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And instantly, I knew I was saved. I stopped Derek before he finished. I says, Derek, I've got saved. He looked at me, after 2 hours now. He says, what? I said, I think I've got saved. He says, how do you know? Well, I says, I know when the verse that says, him that cometh to me. I knew it. I says, I've just come, Derek. He says, you know what you need to do now? You need to confess it. You see, I tell you, I could tell you a lot more, but I went into that hall. I'll never forget what I saw that night. I'll never forget the day I die or the Lord comes for us. I saw 10 men, I counted them, on their faces, weeping. Grown men, weeping. God would save me. Now that's when I got saved. Now would you give me at least 5 minutes and I'll tell you, I promise I'll be here for 10 past. Is that alright? Because I couldn't just leave it there. So I got on, that little assembly was formed because of those meetings. It just was a real little, a powerful time of blessing. People just were getting saved every night. It was unbelievable. And I was taught believers' baptism and got baptized and so forth, and there's a little fellowship formed, and I joined it, and that caused a wee bit of problems here and there, but you know what you'd done that for, and I had to leave certain things that I just knew I just couldn't be affiliated with. I just knew it in my heart that I couldn't, and that caused a bit of a problem in our home, but anyway it worked. Maybe I didn't handle the best, maybe if I look back at it, maybe done things a wee bit different to cause less hurt to my daddy, my father. But anyway, here I am. 24, 25th of April, 1972, at 10 o'clock. I got saved. And then I met a wee girl called Eris, and she asked me to marry her. Now, if she was here, she'd say, no, you didn't. Yeah, I didn't, you know. But anyway, an Irish left her work and me. Our business was doing well, but I had to move into Armagh. The traffic people, roads people were putting pressure on us because of parking, and we managed to buy an old shop in Armagh. We'd done it up. And we moved into Armagh against 13 other butchers. I'm amazed. I don't think I could do that now, but scared of effort, am I? But it worked. And the business just took off. That's what God does. But there's another side to that that I'm going to tell you. I got so busy. I got so busy. I was good out. I was saved all right. I was good out. I bought a wee farm of land and built a new home, our first home, because we were living in just a a little house in Milford, and just things just, I got busy. Reared my own kettle and my lambs and so forth, till I was just working round the clock from probably 6 o'clock in the morning to 11 at night. But God was going to move in now. I was saved, but I was certainly not walking the way I should have been walking. I wasn't out drinking or calavan, but I was just cold at heart. I remember reading that verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," you would know, folk, that is to believers. The Lord really says, you know, I need fellowship. And this is going on in my heart. I've skipped a fair bit out now. This was going on in my mind. Two boys at this time, Mark and Paul, and how my marriage survived, I don't know. Honestly. I just don't know. Because it wasn't really a marriage, really, because I was just working. And I went to a meeting one night. Now, I've read you the verses. And George Bates was giving his testimony. I just went down to Belfast, and George was giving his testimony. He read that, those verses, and Jesus beholding him, "Sell all that you have." But you know what I'd done the night that Iris and I moved into our home? Iris went to bed, Paul was born, and I went up the avenue. And I'm telling you this 100% word by word. I bowed my head that night, and I made a vow. And I says, "Lord, I vow that whatever you ask me to do from this day forth, I'll do it." And I meant it. I just meant it. Worked on, got George testimony. And you see, everywhere I went, it just seemed to be that everybody was speaking about selling. We were only hardly 2 years into our home. And I used to think, "Lord, sell all that you have." I said, "No way, Lord." I didn't tell Iris anything, but I just went, and I was in a different, you name it what you like, folk, but I just dedicated my life to the Lord afresh that night. And I meant it. Take my life and let it be. Worked on. Wednesday was our day off. With six boys working for us and a couple of girls. And Iris was in the house and I was out feeding the cattle. Now, I didn't hear a voice. It was Wednesday morning around 10 o'clock. And you see, if the Lord had been there in person, it would be more. And the Lord reminded me of that vow. That vow. Then the CD all, the tape all come onto my mind with George was on. And I just saw a freshness from George's testimony that I wasn't living. I tell you, I read that night. Better not to vow and to vow not pet. This was different now. I wasn't playing with games here. I thought of the house and thought of Iris, and I managed to share it with Iris. That's why I'm telling you, I'm giving my testimony for Iris tonight as well, and my three children. I managed to say to Iris, "I don't know what is happening, but I shared." And Iris says, "Well, if that's the way." And I remember Iris and I getting down, and we just committed the whole thing to the Lord. Now, I could tell you a whole lot of things were coming to play, were verses of scripture. I'm glad I got the word of God, because Derek used to say to me, not knowing about all this, make sure you've got the word of God for what you do, because the devil will say, "Hath God said?" And I was checking now. We sold our ground and paid off our mortgage, moved into a little rented house. That means now I had a bit more time. I hadn't the farm to look after, just my shop to look after, and Harris worked with me in the shop, and we got on with it. Hedley Murphy came to a little village with tent mission, and souls got saved, and I got involved, and so forth. But you know what's going to happen now? About 2 years later, a fellow from New Tribes, Joseph Bailey, came. He couldn't have known anything now what we had done. He spoke in that same verse in Mark. You know what he took for his text that Sunday morning? One thing thou lackest. And he emphasized it, one thing. Thou lackest, Salah. Now he didn't know what we'd done. I tell you, folk, this is God now. I went home that Sunday morning, and I says, Lord, shall we have done that? I was sitting in our Bible study on Tuesday night, and my eyes fell on this verse. Are you listening to this now? Labour not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat. I was a butcher. Do you know anything about goose pimples? Well, I tell you, I near froze. Sell all. I said, no way. And for 7 years, I fought it. I says, no way, Lord. Because the verse says, sell all and give to the poor. Now, you ladies now, we had three children. I says, no way, Lord. Who's poor anyway? Because this tape of George was going through my mind. She says, nobody poor. But anyway, till eventually, I said in Iris, well, if it has to be, it'll be. I tell you, folk, the price is high. Not because of me now, but I knew that what it cost the Lord, and I was challenged, really challenged, by just different messages. And we got down and we said, Lord, told the boys in the shop that maybe someday we'll... Because I says, no, Lord, I was going to make this as difficult as I could to make sure. And I says to the boys, I says, now, just in case someone would tell you, there might be perchance sometime the shop will go for sale. A fellow who was the manager of the shop came to me after 6 months. He says, Norman, you told me there about you're thinking of selling the shop. I says, that's right, David. But he says, I have been offered another job, and I think I should take it. He left me. And someone asked him, David, why did you leave after 7 years? Was there something happened? He says, no, Norman is thinking of selling the shop. He told a fellow who worked for me 10 years. I had asked the Lord, I says, Lord, you know where I'm tied here. Remember that I asked, it was tied. It was required. It was resisted. It was released. And I went through that with a fine comb. I says, Lord, now, if you want me out, you bring someone to this shop to ask me to sell it. One Friday morning, a fellow who served his time with me 10 years previous stood in the shop. He says, Norman, is it right that you're thinking of selling the shop? I says, well, it probably is. Never had to advertise it. See, the Lord knew who that ass was. The Lord knows who you are tonight. If you're not saved, the Lord knew the case was up a tree. The shop was sold. But to see the verse says, sell all. I could keep you now, I'm sure, an hour. As the Lord dealt with us, had to put things right in my business. I'm not going into all that. I had to make amends just that things weren't just the way they should be. And God dealt with me in a way that I couldn't explain. We sold our business. And I used to think, see, Abraham went out not knowing. And I used to say, Lord, so why are you calling me? Sure, I can't preach. I give him a testimony all the time, and that was it. But we come out. Now, what about the money? We took the money, a bungalow where I was brought up in. My mother, father died, that left to us. And we put it in an account. And he says, Lord, now that's yours. 1 mile from our house, unknown to me, was a place known in Iris called Ballyard's Castle. 1 mile. It went up for sale. And the Lord showed us, verse by verse, that we were to put our all into it. It was sold Once I can tell you how it came about, but that's another day. Actually, Victor Maxwell met me a year ago, and he says, Norman, you need to put that down in a book for other people's encouragement. Because I was reading George Mueller's book. I'm sure some of you have read that, but how orphan children all by faith. Now these, I tell you, there was, I'm telling you the highlights. There was days I certainly, only for the Lord, it was hard. But anyway, only for a good wife, and we managed through all that. And after we had bought 2 years, you know all I got after all that? Because I was waiting before the Lord and fasting and praying. After you've done the will of God, you have need of patience. Staris Foundation, who was looking for a residential home. Any of you know about Staris Foundation? They work with addiction people. Unknown to us, they were looking for a place where they could bring people to. Tom Eakins met us one Tuesday morning. He says, Norman, you bought Ballyard's Castle. Darius and I, he says, we have. He says, what do you intend to do with it? Well, I says, you know, all we know is it's the Lord's and it's not ours. It's the Lord's. He says, well, we have been praying for a residential home. Isn't that wonderful? Unknown to us. The Lord was working away back in the butcher shop, taking us out, not knowing. And then here's Tom coming. He says, Norman, I'm just sharing that with you. And for 8 months, 9 months, we used to meet in Ballyard's Castle together, just asking the Lord for guidance. And then they've spent 21 years in it. That's God now. That could not be me. Now, what was I going to do? Because I thought, right, we'll move to Ballyard's Castle, we'll sell our bungalow, and we'll move there. And the Lord says, no. The Lord took Iris into hospital, just very, very ill. And I remember thinking, the Lord put the brakes in me. Because I used to say, Iris, we need to move. You see, the Lord had other minds because he was keeping his reins on me to hold me back. Staris, I can bring you to fellas tonight, folk. Bring you to fellas who come into that building. And Albert McDonald, I can name you scores of people. The Lord dealt with them and saved them and brought Albert back to run Ballyard's Castle. What was I going to do now? I'm finished now. I know I've kept you now, folks. I'm sorry. What was I going to do now? Because I thought it was going to be there. But the Lord showed me, what about your Isaac? You've got to let it die. Because Ballyard's is my Isaac. The Lord says, you've got to let it die. And I stood in Ballyard's, the ground of Ballyard's has 26 acres, holds about 40 people. And I says, Lord, it's yours now. You know what the Lord done with me that day? He gave me back Ballyard's in a way. Brought me out into evangelism. Bought a little portable hall. And for 20 years now, the Lord took us out into evangelism. Currently, finishing off a mission at the Birches Roundabout. Went away south. I was preaching that the day Philip went south. And the Lord just seemed to just... The Lord gave us a verse. I'm going to finish now. He sent me out that verse, I send you to reap where other men have labored, that ye may enter into their labors, that we may both rejoice together. And thankfully, and I say this to God's glory, there hasn't been a mission. First mission I'd done, I saw a whole family of 13 come to the Lord. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat that endureth unto everlasting. I don't call myself a preacher, really. I don't, honestly. But I'm just so thankful that God gave us the grace to obey him. Just to obey him. To step out in faith. I haven't lifted a salary this last 28 years. All went. And I can stand here to say to God's glory that we have never lacked anything. Where it comes from, I don't know. But God supplies our need. Why am I telling you that? Am I telling you that you go home tonight and you say, that's some boy. Well, if you do, you have missed it. If you think that, because I can tell you, I went into deep depression 10 years ago. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Burnt myself out. I know what it's like. And God brought me out again 3 years ago. Healed me and took me out again. If you think that's, I'm here to, I had a talk about myself, you have missed it. But if you go home tonight and say, well, haven't we a great God? Well, then you've got it, haven't you? Because we have a great God. What about you tonight? You see it? The Lord come tonight, would you be left behind? Death come? Maybe you're sitting in this meeting and you're far away from God, because I was in my heart, really. Oh, you just saw me out breaking bread on a Sunday morning and the prayer meeting, you saw me, but I was far away from God, I can tell you. I was far away from God in my heart. But God just seemed to say, that's it now. I just trust tonight, as I hand back to earlier, brother, I just trust the Lord will bless his word tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, I believe we're living in the Laodicene age, and I believe God is speaking to individuals to step out for God and to prove him. I believe that. And God will do it. May the Lord bless each one of you. Thank you, brother.